Our guest today is Steve Sward. He's a trainer from North Platte, Nebraska, but you've changed locations from where you were in North Platte, haven't you, Steve? Where's your new location?
We're actually about 40 miles north of North Platte. We're up by a little town called Ringgold, out in the Sandhill.
You enjoying it out there?
Oh, we love it out there. We got a nice indoor arena, outdoor arena, and plenty of hills to go ride in.
And you got some cattle that you can use?
Oh, yeah. Yep, we've got some cattle to use and stuff. So that works out really well.
Steve, you got involved with the cutting horses to some degree anyway. You still involved with them?
You know, I haven't been. Last year, due to the coronavirus and stuff, that really kind of threw a wrench in things. So we just really haven't gotten back into the swing of it. And it's still a little bit hit or miss on some of the events.
So they're still not having a lot of cuttings?
Well, they're starting to open up some of it, but, you know, certain places, just it's hit or miss as to what the restrictions are going to be, to how much of it is being affected in their area at the time.
What about you then? What are you just starting colts and are you still doing some farrier work?
Oh, yeah. Yep, starting a lot of colts. Actually, I've started getting a lot more of the 4- and 5- and 6-year-old horses to kind of do a little bit more refined type work on and getting them a little bit further down the road and a little more finished.
Any particular events or disciplines that those folks are wanting you to work on with those horses?
You know, it's been just somewhat of a variety of anything from show horses to ranch horses.
Why would what's the ranch horses that they're bringing in? Why would somebody bring you a riding or a ranch horse? Are they having trouble with them bucking, spooking? What's the problems that they tend to bring to you?
Well, typically it's just been that they haven't probably ridden them all winter, and you know they're young, you know, young 4-year-old or 5-year-old, and they're wanting just a little bit more refinement put in there and a little more handle put on them.
And that makes those some of those ranch horses with a little more handle makes them pretty valuable, I would think.
Yeah, you know, the ranch horse, the market for the ranch horse has gotten really, really, really good.
Well, you had a thoroughbred mare that you bought a few years ago off the track. How's that mare coming along?
She is doing really well. She's probably really liking life right at the moment because we've been raising some babies out of her.
What did you breed? She's thoroughbred mare. What'd you breed her to?
We bred her to a quarter horse stud, and, you know, right off the top of my head, I can't think of his registered name.
But how are the colts looking out of that big old thoroughbred mare?
Really well. Really well. They've kind of took on more of the thoroughbred look to them.
So going to be pretty big, stout horses then?
Yeah.
What else have you got going on that's kind of interesting at this point in time?
You know, I recently went to a Joe Walters clinic, and that was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it, and golly, I walked away from there with a boatload of knowledge.
He's pretty doggone good hand, isn't he?
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and boy, I can't wait till the next time I can go to him. And I was really fortunate in the fact that he was here in North Platte, so I didn't really have to travel to go to him.
What did you pick up from that clinic that's going to be valuable to you? What's the main thing that you picked up from Joe?
You know, I took a horse there. The horse I took was one of my own, and he's an older horse that Dolly, he got started way late in life. He didn't get started till he was 9 years old. And I've been messing with him for the last 2 years. And the horse was riding really, really well. I was really pleased with how he rode. But he was pretty leery of people on the ground. Just people approaching him. Or, you know, I took him to a few brandings, but it was really difficult to get that horse to go through the branding crew and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd mentioned that to Joe, and Joe says, well, he said, let's see what we can get done here in the horsemanship. And if things don't really clear up by tomorrow, he said, you come find me. And he says, we'll see if we can get something a little better happening. And golly, within about an hour, lo and behold, that horse, a lot of that stuff kind of faded away. And the next day, I kind of had to think about what happened. And, you know, all Joe really did was get the horse and I more together, you know, where the horse was keeping more track of me and I was getting with the horse more. And the horse was no longer worried or afraid about a lot of that stuff.
So he got his mind on you then rather than the other things.
Yeah. And lo and behold, you know, the horse started seeking me out a little bit more for security. And I guess you could say Joe got me to kind of help the horse seek me out for some security.
Okay, what did you do? Anything specific that you did to make that or to allow that horse to seek you out for more security?
Well, one of the interesting things that we worked on, the very starter was he had all of the riders going. He said, you know, the biggest thing for most folks was learning how to go with the horse to get the horse to go along with you. And, of course, there's a whole lot of stuff that you could take into that deal. But, you know, the biggest thing was if he was shaping up like he was going to go to the left, why go ahead and take him to the left? You know, or vice versa, if he was going to go to the right, why go ahead and take him to the right? And then pretty soon Joe says, now see if you can get the horse to get with you. And by golly, it didn't take hardly anything to get the horse to get with us, you know. And I think a lot of it, the horse became more secure, and a lot of the other problem areas were gone.
How's he been since you got him back home?
You know, he's been phenomenal. I've ridden him a few times and exposed him to a lot of situations with folks on the ground and stuff. And I would say he's about 100 times better than what he was before.
Anything else that you picked up at that clinic that was really of some interest?
Oh, you know, some of the ways that Joe was helping those folks kind of helped me give me some ideas on how I could help some people out, you know. And I can't really say there was any one specific thing, but just his approach with people, there was never ABC or cookie cutter technique. You know, it was more about working with the horse on a psychological level.
So he works a lot on, really, you'd call it from the inside out then on the horse.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
What are some of the things that you can do to get that horse's attention where it should be on you? What do you feel it takes to do that?
You know, a lot of it is just little things. You know, if the horse, there again, if the horse was thinking about going left, Joe would tell you, take him to the left. Don't just allow him to go that way, but you take him that way. And then maybe ask for an extra stride or two over what he was maybe anticipating. So consequently, his idea and your idea become two of the same. And, you know, you're not forcing the horse, I guess you could say, to do it.
Steve, we're just about to the point where we have to take a break, so let's do that. This seems to be a good time. But you folks stay with us. We're going to have more from Steve Sword about that horse that was 9 years old when he started him. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner. If you happen to miss the Horseman's Corner on the radio, one of the five daily programs, or a weekend program, you can always get them by going to horsemanscorner.com. You can also find some good ag businesses there, such as Bunkhouse Trailer Sales at Mitchell, Nebraska. It's also horses for sale, saddles, tack, real estate. It's all there on horsemanscorner.com. Great resource. Take the time and visit soon.
In today's world, our body's immune system is critical to staying alive and healthy. Find the best immunity system building products at greengoldnaturalhealing.com. My wife and I believe so much in these products that we became representatives in order to help others. Visit greengoldnaturalhealing.com. And as always, thanks again for listening and may God bless. I'm Brian Hale.
Welcome back to the Horseman's Corner. We're on the final segment of today's show, and here's more with Steve Sword about the horse that he had at a Joe Walters clinic that was having some issues with people on the ground. So you let him have his idea, say he wants to go to the left, but you keep on going to the left, maybe a little more than what he really anticipated. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Yep.
In your mind, why does that seem to work?
Well, it was interesting because I heard Joe mention one time that he said I try to avoid an argument with my horse at all costs. But he said I sure really try to get the horse to, you know, if he's made up plans and going to do something, I'm going to go with him, but I sure want him to get to where he'll go with me. So, you know, he said, boy, if he wanted to hurry up a little bit, he said, I might just hurry him a little bit more than what he wanted. He said, wouldn't have to be a lot, but just a little bit more. And he said, I would try to find a way to make use of that, you know. And so it was just really working on the psychological side of the horse. There wasn't nothing that I don't feel like anybody could do. Anybody, I feel like, could truly benefit from it.
Yeah, and it's interesting where that horse wasn't really started till he was 9 years old. Was he halter broke when you got him?
Yeah, you could kind of sort of say that. Depends on whose definition of halter broke you were using.
Where you started him at that age, was he difficult to get started?
You know, not particularly. He was pretty gun shy of people and stuff on the ground, but he wasn't, he was reasonably pretty well to ride, pretty good to ride. A very sensitive horse, and still is an extremely sensitive horse. I say I've been riding him for 2 years, and I wear spurs when I ride him, but I can probably count the number of times I've touched him with a spur on one hand.
You know, that's really interesting where you start a horse that late in life and he turns out to be a good horse. So there's a lot of horses out there then that are in that 4, 5, 6-year-old age group that you can go on and get a lot done with.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And with this horse, there was a few things that took a little extra time and other areas that didn't particularly take as much time as what you would say a 2 or 3 year old colt, you know.
What was his background? Had he just been running out all those years?
Yeah, he'd been handled some as a youngster, as a 2 year old, and he'd been haltered and stuff. He'd come from a lady who had inherited a bunch of horses from her father, and the horse had just kind of had fell to the wayside.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation. Hey, you used to do some work with Harmony Horse over at Denver, a place that finds homes for horses. Do you still do any work with them?
You know, they contacted me, and we're going to do I'm going to do a workshop for them later on this fall. I'd done a workshop for them a couple of years ago on bits and bridles and how they work and how they function, and they liked it well enough that they invited me back to do her again.
What are some of the misconceptions that people tend to have about the bits and how they function?
You know, most people, honestly, I think they pick up a catalog and they read whatever the little thing says that the bit's supposed to do, but they don't truly understand the mechanics of how it works. And I think that was the biggest thing that I was finding with a lot of those folks. They didn't understand where the pressure points were truly interacting with the horse and the true mechanics of it. So it was really interesting, and interestingly enough, I'd gotten a horse skull. It was real interesting to have that skull there where you could show people how that bit would lie on the bony structure of the horse's mouth.
Now, over the years, you've used a lot of bits made by an older gentleman, John Israel. His bits are kind of unique, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. John and I had a conversation here a couple months ago, and I told John, I said, you know, out of all the bits I see on the market and everything, I said, you know, I don't see anybody even coming close to really copying your bits. And John, he just kind of chuckled, and he says, yeah. He says, you know, one thing that I've always kept in mind when I was building this is I wanted it to be something that was comfortable for the horse. And he said he found that he felt like most bits were there to inflict a certain amount of pain. He said, I wanted the bit to be something that the horse was comfortable with and not scared of.
What is, most of his bits have a Mullen mouthpiece, don't they?
Yeah, and they're relatively a lot larger than your typical bit. You know, he makes them out of a 5/8 tubing.
That's an interesting situation. Now, where you've used them over the years, have you found a lot of horses that really like his bit?
You know, honestly, I've never found a horse that wasn't accepting of them. When I come across a rider that I'm not real sure of and don't really know their background, that's typically the bridle I'll have them ride with, because I'm pretty certain they can't really hurt one of my horse's mouths with that bit.
What's interesting to me is that I know I did an interview with John a few years back and asked him if he ever made any snaffle bits, and his answer was no, 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 he just didn't.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, when I was down there visiting John, I spent some time with him and kind of learned how he made bits, and, you know, something I'll never forget was he told me, he says, don't ever build a bit that you wouldn't use on your own horses. He said, if somebody comes in wanting something and you don't like the idea behind it or the concept behind it, and you wouldn't use it on your own, he says, I just wouldn't make it for them. And he said, I've stuck to that. And he said, I've always kind of kept the horse in mind. He said, I didn't really care what the riders had to think.
So from what you're telling me, you take a person who works with horses, trains horses, and has clinics for people, Joe Walters, and then a bit maker like John Israel, their idea is the same. They've got the horse in mind, got his welfare first.
Yeah, yep, at the utmost, you know. It was real interesting, the concept and the theories of the two guys are very, very similar, even though their tacker equipment might be an necessarily the same, but their theories definitely are the same, and they could sit down and enjoy a conversation with one another.
So you're, if, excuse me, Steve, so if you got to get a chance, you're going to go to another Joe Walter clinic.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
You know, another gentleman that you've worked with a lot over the years is a guy named Bob Schaffner. Does Bob still do some work with you?
Oh, yeah, it was especially more so now that we're up there at the ranch. Golly, he comes out and he'll spend a week or so at a time with me.
Is his philosophy a lot like Joe Walter's?
You know, interestingly enough, they're almost identical.
But they have the same background.
Yes, yes.
And that back... Go ahead.
A lot of the stuff that Bob had kind of been preaching to me for years, when I went to Joe's, Joe had maybe a little different way of wording things, but by golly, it cleared up a lot of stuff for me, a lot of stuff.
Well, that's an interesting situation. What's the most interesting horse that you have to work with right now, in your view?
The horse that I took to Joe's, he's, of course, obviously one of my own personal horses. Doesn't get ridden on a daily basis. But that horse has been a lot of fun, and probably the idea of just being able to maintain that sensitivity that horse has without killing it. I feel like a lot of folks have a tendency of dummying the horse down to them rather than seeking the level of the horse, and boy, it's sure been a lot of fun trying to get to that level with that horse.
Steve, do people sometimes not take enough time to let the horse process what's going on?
Definitely. I feel that, I watch a lot of trainers, and they'll work on a particular maneuver, and the horse starts to working at it and gets good about it, and without stopping and giving the horse even a 30-second break, they move right on into the next maneuver. And if a guy could just take a little time, even a few minutes, and just let the horse kind of stand there and soak and think about what he and be happy about what he just accomplished.
He doesn't understand if he, gosh, I did it right, so what's the reward?
Yeah, exactly. And so, if a feller was, we could say maybe working on getting a horse a little bit spinning, why, once he got pretty good at it, if we could just give him a little break and not go to spinning him the other direction immediately, why, maybe the horse would feel a little bit better about himself and try a little harder for us.
Anything else you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about, Steve?
I don't believe so, Howard.
Well, Steve, it's really been a lot of fun talking to you again. And how do they find you at your new place where you're training?
The best thing would be to call me, because we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, and what's that phone number?
308-760-4708.
North Platte, Nebraska horseman Steve Sward. Good to have him with us, as well as Mike Brazier, Fort Lepton, Colorado horseman, on the first half of the program. Well, thanks for joining us. We've run out of time for today's show. I'm Howard Hale, host of the program. I'll say goodbye. May God bless. See you next week. Same time, same place.